Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. We pray this broadcast will be a special blessing to you today. Hope that you're in a situation where you can just take a little time to invest in the things of the Spirit today. So much that we're investing in one day is going to pass away. But this that you invest in your spirit from the Word of God will last throughout all eternity. In fact, it'll get you ready for eternity. So please stay tuned to this broadcast today. If you are a return listener, we welcome you right here on WMAF. And we pray that you will be kind of a media evangelist. And if you believe this broadcast and the programming in general, there's other ministries here. There's good classic gospel music. And I had a lady at the post office the other day tell me that she had, in essence, discovered WMAF because I always mail the broadcast there. When I don't put it in the box, I take it directly to the post office, and so she's discovered WMAF through the address on the disc package, and she's been listening. She says, you know, we just can't find good classic gospel, southern gospel on the airwaves like this station. So she's listening by computer. We welcome her today if she's available to hear this broadcast when she's off. And to all of you that listen by computer, we're so glad you've discovered WMAF and through it, this ministry. Praise God. And if you feel this station and these ministries will be a blessing to others, classic country, classic gospel, and just a few minutes, some classic preaching and teaching, then please be a media missionary and drop an email to someone and invite them to the WMAF homepage up in the right hand corner. They can click and get the live streaming music and ministry. Everything that's being heard right there in Madison can be heard anywhere in the world over the World Wide Web. And so we're grateful for people listening by computer, and especially those of you right there in Madison. This is your hometown radio station, and we pray that we're part of your devotional life there in Madison. We bless you and all the ministers that minister in the North Florida area. We pray that God will make you very, very fruitful for His kingdom. Praise God. I think I might have said it last week. If I didn't, I need to say it. If you've got a pastor that preaches the Word of God from the book, the Bible, I'm telling you, you need to pray for him. Be at church on Sunday. Amen. Shock him some Sunday morning and nod yes or amen when he preaches. Praise God. Amen. That's like saying sic'em to a bird dog. Praise the Lord. So encourage your minister, and he will certainly encourage you in the things of the Lord. Well, having said these things today, if you're not a Christian, we pray that you will stay tuned, because believe it or not, what we're talking about today involves you directly. It involves everyone on this planet, because Jesus is coming again very soon. And I know there are people that have heard so much scoffing about that message, but you know, the scoffers, the scoffing at the message of the soon coming of Jesus is biblically prophesied, and not just prophesied only, but it's absolutely directly stated in Scripture that this would be the case just before Christ comes again, that many scoffers would say, where is the sign of His coming? Ever since our fathers slept, things go on just like they are to this day. But God is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering, not willing that any perish, but have eternal life. In other words, people scoffing will not make Him come prematurely. He's going to come in the fullness of time, just like He came the first time. Because of His great love and desire to show mercy, He is not going to be provoked into coming prematurely. But when the time arrives for Him to come, He's going to come quickly, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, as the lightning shineth. That's how His coming is going to be. So we just pray today that you'll stay tuned. God wants you to be ready for the coming of Jesus. And we're talking about how to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 24, verse 43 and 44 is our foundational text that we're teaching from, how to be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. And Jesus said these words, "But know this, if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." Now, I want to make a statement here today. If we were in China right now, I'd be thrown in prison for what I'm about to do, and that is to teach and preach a sermon on the return of Jesus Christ, because that is the one doctrine of the Christian faith that is officially forbidden to be preached by pastors in the church in China. You see, the communist officials understand something that a lot of Christians, I'm afraid, have lost sight of, and that is that the doctrine of the return of Jesus Christ is not a peripheral, tangential doctrine. It is not optional. It is not one of those take-it-or-leave-it fringe doctrines of the Christian faith. Because, you see, if people really believe that one day the end of history is going to occur and Jesus is going to return in all of His glory and victory and establish His kingdom above all other kingdoms, then people are not going to take the powers, principalities, governments, and political systems of this world all that seriously. We're going to take them with a grain of salt. You just can't have people both looking for the return of Christ and taking the Chinese communist government all that seriously. So you ban the preaching of the return of Christ. It is a core doctrine of the Christian faith, and we need to rediscover this core doctrine of the faith and the hope and power that it brings to our lives as Christians living in the last days. Over 300 times in the New Testament alone, those that have done the math, reference is made to the second coming of Christ in one form or another. That is one out of every 30 verses. A Scottish pastor who has said that the doctrine of the return of Christ is like a lofty mountain that dominates the entire landscape of the New Testament. Ah, what a wonderful statement. I'm going to read that again. The return of Jesus Christ is like a lofty mountain that dominates the entire landscape of the New Testament. If you and I read the New Testament cover to cover, that mountain jumps out at us at almost every turn in the way. And it's such an important doctrine that we cannot and must not miss the prominence and the preeminence that it should have in our preaching and teaching and in our hearing as believers in these last days. But I have to ask the question, why then do we hear so little preaching or teaching on the soon coming of Jesus in the church today? For whatever reasons, we seem to shy away from it, yet in recent U.S. News and World Report surveys, it showed that 2/3 of all Americans say that they believe that Christ is going to return one day. 67% of them said they believe that the world would come to an end at a certain time in history. U.S. News and World Report did the same survey just a few years ago. And in the few years since then, the belief in the return of Christ has risen 5%. We've got a lot of people out there expecting the return of Jesus, interested in the return of Jesus. But there's large portions and circles within the church that's pretty much silent and nonchalant in his preaching and teaching on it. But that is what has to be addressed and changed. The Bible is very, very clear. In the Scripture, it is called a blessed hope. I want to read today from Titus chapter 2, verse 11 through 13. Listen carefully. "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What is the special character then of biblical hope? What does it mean? Biblical hope is not finger crossing. It is a confident expectation of good things to come, the glad anticipation of future good, one person called it. Hebrews calls it the full assurance of hope. The center of Christianity is the coming of the Son of God into the world, and as a real man to destroy the works of the devil and create a new people for His own glory. The very heart of our faith is that He did this by obeying the law of God, dying for the sins of His people, rising victorious over death, ascending to God's right hand with His enemies under His feet. The second coming of Christ is the completion of His saving work. If you take it away, the whole fabric of His saving work unravels. It is the crowning event of His death, His resurrection. It doesn't stop with His death, His resurrection, and His ascension. It is crowned by His coming for His church, His coming for you and me. Last week, we talked about being ready for His coming, and we talked about being watchful. The Bible said to watch and pray lest we enter into temptation, and we talked about the parable of the 10 virgins, who were those who were watching and those who were sleeping, and the importance of having a spirit of expectancy and anticipation, looking for the coming of Jesus Christ. And then we began to talk about being faithful. I'm going to continue this week about being ready for that coming by talking about faithfulness and how essential it is that we more than ever be faithful to our God and to our faith. Luke 18:8, the words of Jesus, "I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth?" Now, this is not faith to believe God for the healing of the body. This is not faith to receive His promises. This is not that word used in the way that some are using it today just for the material. This is not faith to believe God for a brand new Mercedes or a Rolex. This faith that we're talking about on the earth is the faith that Paul was talking about and that the apostles were talking about in the New Testament, that we should earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. This is that faith and our faithfulness to it. This is fidelity. This is being true to the faith. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'll tell you, if we don't put up a fight for the faith that was once delivered, we're going to get a polluted, perverted form of it and accept that as the truth. And it is not. The faith that was once delivered to the saints is unyielding and uncompromising. It will not bend to fit a culture that is being tarnished and tainted by sin. We don't bring the standard down to the level of our living. The Word of God is to bring our living up to His unchanging standard of holiness. Praise God. In ancient times and in modern times, Christians parting would say, keep the faith. Watchfulness and faithfulness go hand in hand. Praise the Lord. Listen, it is so important that we learn how to be faithful unto the Lord. Let me jump down, because we've read some of these scriptures, to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28. It says, "And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear, you may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming." Abide. Wonderful word here in the actual Greek. It means to remain constant, to be unchanged and unmoved. the New Testament in John 15 said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you will ask what you will, and it shall be given unto you. Praise God. We need a stability of our faith. We need it to be committed and recommitted if necessary. Amen. To stand true to what we have been taught from the Word of God, and particularly what Jesus Christ has said to us. Faithfulness in the sense of constant trust in Christ alone. Is as our Savior and our Deliverer is the key to fruitfulness, according to John 15. Listen to Revelation chapter 3, and let's see what God says to encourage this church and all churches for all time to be faithful. Revelation 3, verse 7 through 10. And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door that no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. I think that sums up the faith that Jesus is looking for. Those that have kept His Word, which is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. All of it, not some of it, or the parts of it that fit neatly into our lifestyles or our culture. No, this is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. We keep His Word, and we have not denied His name. Praise God. Behold, I will make of them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will also keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. When judgments are poured out, God is going to keep safe His people. Praise the Lord. The New International says, you've kept my command to endure patiently. One paraphrase says, you've obeyed my command to persevere. And the Amplified talks about expectant endurance. See, what gives us endurance is because we know our Master is coming back. And He's not coming to judge us. He's coming to take us home. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, let me read from Revelation 3:11. It says, behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. In order to be ready for Christ's coming, we must draw close, therefore, to God. James 4 and verse 8 says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. The strength we need to endure, the power we need to overcome, the fulfillment we need as a buffer against the temptations that assail our flesh are all found in the presence of God. Salvation, repentance of sin, accepting Christ as our Savior permits a fellowship relationship with Jesus and with God the Father. We can enter in to the presence of God. The presence of God brings joy, and the joy of the Lord is our strength. You know, the New Testament in the 1 John, it says, for truly our fellowship, koinonia, that means intimate, personal relationship. Our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Don't miss an opportunity to enter into God's presence and give Him praise. Hear His word or pray, and pray without ceasing, and you will be strengthened with might in the inward man. I don't know about you, friend, but I don't just go to church because it's got a pretty steeple. We're not in a church now that has the beautiful stained glass of our first church. Our first church in the inner city had beautiful stained glass windows. We were there for 25 years. And it was so beautiful on Sunday morning when the sun would be coming in those beautiful leaded stained glass windows. It just created this wonderful atmosphere. But if the presence of God wasn't in that beautiful room, there would be an emptiness that you could feel. But controversially, if the presence of God is under a canvas tent with a sawdust floor, you can feel something that is far better than any atmosphere or nuance created by stained glass windows. Praise God. It wasn't our steeple, our stained glass windows. It wasn't the beauty of the building. It was the beauty of our God who would manifest Himself and make Himself real to us. And the old timers used to put it this way, it's better felt than telt. I can talk all day long about the presence of God, but until you experience that presence for yourself, you really can't possibly understand. But the Bible said of our love for Him that it is joy unspeakable, whom having not seen, you love with joy unspeakable and full of the glory of God. Hallelujah. We need to persevere. We need to learn how to draw very, very close to God. Hallelujah. The coming of Jesus for the bride is the consummation of the cross and the confirmation of the resurrection. On the cross, Christ purchased our redemption. When He comes again, He completes our redemption. He claims His purchased possession. It's called a blessed hope in the Scripture. And this is not a looking back toward the cross alone. This is looking forward to the coming of Jesus Christ to redeem us, and not only from sin's power and consequence, but from sin's very presence. The two great themes that are at the core of the Christian faith is the crucifixion with the resurrection and the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross and the coming of Jesus Christ constitute the foundation for all Christian hope. Praise God. Let me read this to you. It's a beautiful scripture in Hebrews 9 and verse 28 as we begin to close today. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And to them that look for Him, He shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Let me read that from the Amplified. It really helps you grasp what's being said here. Even so, it is that Christ, having been offered to take upon Himself and bear as a burden the sins of many, once and once for all, will appear a second time, not to carry any burden of sin or to deal with sin, but to bring to full salvation those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Praise God. Amen. I want to read that again. He's coming for those who are eagerly, constantly, and patiently waiting for and expecting Him. Praise God. Are you eagerly, constantly, patiently waiting for and expecting Him? If you are, then you will be ready for the coming of Jesus Christ. If you haven't accepted Jesus as your Savior, the first step in being ready is coming to Him as your Savior, repenting of your sins, asking Christ into your heart and into your life, knowing that if He should come before the day breaks again, you would be ready. And knowing that even if He tarries for a season and your heart quit beating, that you would be ready. Whichever way you leave this world, by the rapture of the church or by taking your last breath here, one thing is for sure, you need to be ready. What makes you ready to die at this very moment will make you ready for the coming of Jesus Christ when He comes. The coming of our Savior will prove our great God's dominion over death. Our bodies will be transformed. Philippians 3:20 and 21 says, "For our conversation is in heaven, from whence we also look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." I love that word conversation. It literally means our homeland, our citizenship. And it says, "Who will change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself." I want to read that from the Amplified too. Listen, "But we are citizens of the state, commonwealth, homeland, which is in heaven, and from it also we earnestly and patiently await the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, as Savior, who will transform and fashion anew the body of our humiliation to conform to and be like the body of His glory and majesty, by exerting that power which enables Him even to subject Himself, everything rather, to Himself." Praise God. Amen. You know what Job said in that ancient book? So people ask me questions, and they're legitimate questions. I've asked them, and I went to the Bible for the answer. And sometimes when you question things yourself, you become a good person to direct others to the answers in the Word. And I like to be able to do that. For the things that God has spoken clearly on, we can go to the Scripture. And people have asked me, what about the people that drowned at sea and sea animals, sharks and other crabs and other things have stripped the flesh from their bones and scattered their bones on the bottom of the ocean? What about people that have been burned up or blew to pieces in an explosion? What about people what's going to happen when Jesus comes? Well, the Bible said He's able to subdue everything to Himself. That means every atom, every molecule, everything that the eye can't even see or detect anymore. God has the blueprint. He saw us and knew us in our mother's wombs, and He's got all the DNA. Praise God. He's got a computer full of with a hard drive big enough to hold the DNA of everybody. Not literally, you know what I'm saying. He's Almighty God. Praise God. And you know what Job said? He said, "Though the skin worms eat my body, I know my Redeemer lives." And at the last day, He's going to come and He's going to stand upon this earth. And when He stands again on this earth, I'm going to stand with Him in my flesh. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. When He stands up, no matter how long I've been dead, no matter what has happened to my old body, this body is going to come forth and stand up with Him forever. Praise God. Amen. I'll tell you, the coming of the Lord is so important to the Christian faith because it means that we have hope that death can't conquer. He's coming again, and the dead in Christ are going to rise, and we which are living and remain, according to 1 Thessalonians, are going to be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. Amen. On that great getting up morning, fare thee well. Friend, more than anything else, God wants you to be ready for that great day when He comes. Because if He doesn't come in our lifetime, and I believe that He's going to, I would be greatly, greatly just surprised if Jesus doesn't come in my lifetime. I'm 63 years old. I've seen some things happen in the kingdom of God. I've seen things happen in the kingdom of man that convince me more and more that the coming of the Lord is soon, very, very soon. So if you don't know Jesus today as your personal Savior, I urge you, I implore you, by the mercies of God, that you would accept Him now. that you wouldn't tarry, that you would not wait, that you would not be foolish, but that you would open your heart and receive Him into your life. Repent of your sins and then look up. He's coming soon. We love you today. Would you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. When I saw you.